Welcome, everyone, to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange Ask the Expert session. Today's topic is WebSphere Application Server Installation, Update, and Uninstall. My name is David Long, and this session will give you the opportunity to speak to our panel of experts on a variety of subjects related to today's topic. Moving on to slide number 2, the agenda. In today's session, we will start off by introducing our panel of experts to you. We will then move on to give you a brief introduction to today's topic. Next, our panel of experts will answer the questions that they provided. Then we will open the lines for a live question and answer period. Finally, the session will end with a summary of today's session. Moving on to slide number 3. At this time, I would like our panel of experts to introduce themselves for today's call. First, we have Jeanette Daly. Please go ahead, Jeanette.
Hello, everyone. My name is Jeanette Daly, and I've been with IBM for 32 years, the large portion of my career in Level 2 support, and I've been with WebSphere Application Server Level 2 support for 5 years, specializing in install and system management.
Thank you, Jeanette. Next, we have Mike Hill. Please go ahead, Mike.
Hello, my name is Mike Hill. I've been with IBM for the last 12 years. Over my career, I've been a developer for 15 years, then came into Level 2 support back in the 3.5 days, so have been doing this for a while, and I just want to welcome you.
Thank you, Mike. Next, we have Fish Churchill.
Yeah, hi, everyone. I joined WebSphere Level 2 support in May 2006. That's when I joined IBM. I've been here for past 7 years. I've worked in multiple components within WASP, currently work in the capacity of SME on install and update. And welcome, everyone. Thanks.
Thank you, Vish. And finally, we have Vikram Tomandrew. Please go ahead, Vikram.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Vikram Tomandrew. I have been working with the WebSphere Application Server product for the last 20 years, so I have started my support experience with the WebSphere Application Server 3.5 days onwards. And currently, I'm specialized in the area of, you know, the WebSphere product installation, system management, and scripting, etc. Welcome, everyone.
Thank you, Vikram. Before we get to the question and answer period, our panel would like to give you a technical overview of the topic. Moving on to slide number 4, please go ahead, Vish.
Yeah, thank you, David. So before we jump in the session, we just would like to welcome everybody and just let what topics we can cover today. So today, basically, we'll be covering the install, update, uninstall, applying fixed packs to WebSphere Application Server, ND Base, Liberty, IBM HTTP Server, plugins, using Installation Manager in V8 onwards. We'll also take questions on V7 regarding the install, update using Update Installer or ISMP Installer, and also on any feature packs in V7 or V8. Today's focus will be entirely on the distributed operating systems. That's the team the panel is from. So basically, our focus will be install, update, uninstall using IAM and Update Installer technologies. So at this point, I'll give back to you, David, to start with the first question.
Thank you, Vish. We will now begin our question and answer session with questions that were provided by the panel. I will now hand the presentation over to our panel of experts by moving on to question number 1 on slide number 5. Please go ahead, Jeanette.
Yes, for question number 1, we thought it would be good to overview the command line options, the IMCL utility to determine what is installed and what offerings are available in your repositories when you're going to install. Slide number 6. And how you do that is, first we recommend that you issue the IMCL space version command to validate that the IMCL utility is working and it displays the version correctly. And then to list the packages that are available to be installed, you can issue from, and you issue this from the Eclipse tools of your IAM install root directory. So you would issue IMCL list available packages space hyphen repositories and then list those repository locations. then to list the fixes that can be installed for interim fixes, you would issue IMCL list available fixes and the package ID and the version, which is optional, and the repositories and the location of those repositories. Sometimes it's tricky with the list available fixes, so the best thing to do, I recommend, is go to your version info output, and that will give you the package name and version. And then you can do the IMCL list available fixes with that specific package string. Okay, and then to list the installed packages through IM, you issue IMCL list installed packages, and we recommend the verbose flag, and that will also show you where your shared resources directory is. Slide 7. Okay, so we're going to move on to question number 2, and this is regarding what options you can use to uninstall interim fixes and fix packs using Installation Manager. Slide number 8. Okay, for iFixes, we want to stress or emphasize that you need to use the IMCL uninstall option or uninstall through the GUI, that it's different from installing, uninstalling or removing fix packs where you use the rollback option. So be careful to use the uninstall option when you go to uninstall an interim fix, and be sure that you use the iFix name and not the package name, because, for instance, if you were uninstalling through the command line, if you put the package name, you might mistakenly uninstall WebSphere, and we wouldn't want that to happen. Okay, and for the rollback option, which is used for fix packs, you have to remember to roll back specifying the prior level, not the level that you're currently at, the level that you're going to roll back to. And if you have any questions or need to determine that, you can view the history info information from your WebSphere install, and that will give you the prior levels. Slide number 9. And at this point, I'm going to turn the presentation over to Mike Hill.
Thank you, Jeanette. For question 3, we're going to talk a little bit about the IM shared directory. And it is and does use a lot of space. And is there an option that we can use to delete the files from this IM shared directory? Slide 10, please. So the shared resources directory, as we stated, does consume a lot of disk space. To save on that disk space, you can select not to save files for rollback. So here, displayed is our graphical way. You would go under File Preferences, and then Files for Rollback. You can click whether you want to save those files for rollback or not. And in the second paragraph of that screenshot, it's a little hard to read, but it gives you the size of the saved files. So in this example, it's showing that 3.53 gigabyte has been saved. So you could, in fact, use the button to delete the saved files to regain that 3.53 gigabyte of space. During your installs of the product and fix packs, iFixes, you could use a response file during your install process. And inside the response file, you could use this minus preferences flag to preserve the download artifacts to be either true to save those files for rollback or false to not save those files for rollback. A third option we could use is a command line. Under your Installation Manager Home, Eclipse Tools, we could run the IMCL command minus C to bring up our command line, and then select P, and then select number 3 to delete the files. Slide 11. So we never want to delete or alter the contents of the IAM shared directory manually. If, in case the option for saving these files for rollback is not selected, there are still files in the IAM shared directory which are very important and should not be modified or deleted. Taking the risk to do this on your own could corrupt your installation manager as well as the installs that you have done with installation manager. So not saving the files does save a lot of space. In the event that you do need to roll back, you will need to access the repositories that you want to roll back to. So also take a note that even if you do not save the files for rollback, the artifacts during the install will be staged in the IAM shared directory during the install. So the space is still needed at install and update time. And if we do want to find out, well, where is our shared resources directory and all the installed packages, again, from the Installation Manager Home Eclipse Tools directory, we could run the IMCL list installation directories with the minus verbose flag. And as you can see in the output here, it will display the directory path of where that IAM shared directory is located. Slide 12. At this time, I'm going to turn over for question four to Vish.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So with question four, is it possible to change the app data agent directory from the default that was initially installed and for WAS and other offerings? Going to slide 13, please. So before we talk about we can change it or not, let's try to understand what it is. It's actually, we call it app data, or it's also called installation manager agent data directory, or sometimes in our merge gathers referred to as IAM underscore data directory. This is used by IAM to store the state and history about the installation, that is, what this particular IAM is managing, what is installed, what fixed pack, what features, what offering. So very, very important directory for IAM. Now, if you don't specify anything, you just run IAM by default, this will go to the default directories which are mentioned in the table. So I'll pick the last row, which is Unix. So for the root install on Unix, this will be WAR IBM Installation Manager. And for a non-root, it will go under user home directory. What is the home directory for that user? /war/IBM/installation manager. Now, this directory is picked if you don't specify anything. This is the default location. Slide 14, please. So once you have installed by default and your app data location is picked up, which is the default one, it can never be changed unless we reinstall the whole product. That is, like, let's say you install with default and you install WAS and you do non-root, then the user home, the app data will be user home WAR IBM installation manager and cannot be changed. If due to some reason this directory is lost or corrupt, the future updates will be affected. Product will run fine, but you'll not be able to apply iFix or a fixed pack or uninstall or rollback. We highly recommend you to make the backup of this directory when you make backup WAS. What we mean is, so let's say you backup WAS at 12 at midnight, the same instant backup the agent data. Normally, it is recommended to back this up before and after the updates along with your WAS. Now, if you are installing IAM first time and you want the whole, all the products that are installed by that IAM to use a different data location than the default, you can install IAM using the -dl or -data location command. The example here I'm showing is for the graphical install. You can add this to your command line, IMCL, or anything you want. So let's say we are doing a non-root install. We'll do user inst -data location or -dl and give it the directory /user/IBM/appdata. Now, any product that I update, install using this IAM and this same user will use this as the data agent. Now, this is one option. Second option, which is that for each offering, you can use a different data agent. So that is basically, let's say you install WAS. During the install, you specify -dl. That will use one data location. Then you install IHS, you use different data location. So you separated the data location for each offering. But in that case, you need to remember what data location was used for WASP, what was used for IHS, because IAM will not keep record of it. So it's highly recommended that try to use, use a single data agent, and if you want to change it, specify something during the install of IAM. But if you want to separate the data locations per offering, that is possible, but the user needs to maintain the record for that. So that's pretty much about data agent. I'll pass on to Vikram on question 5 on slide 15.
Thank you, Vish. The question number 5 is, what options do we have to install Liberty 855? So as you all know, we have a new profile called Liberty Profile, started with a WebSphere application server 850. And so this 855 for both versions, there are two ways. The slide number 16. So there are two ways how we can install this Liberty Profile. We can use Installation Manager to install this Liberty Profile, or we can use the second option, which is Archive Install. But both install medias are available on the Passport Advantage site, so we can download, both any type of, the Liberty, the profile offering, either the one with the Install Manager or one with the Archive Install. But the catch is that, once you install this Liberty profile, either with the Install Manager option or Archive Install option, the same method should be used for the future, the fixed pack updates. If I install the Liberty profile, with Installation Manager, and if I want to apply the new fixed pack to the Liberty profile, I should be using only the Installation Manager. I cannot use the Archive Install approach. So that's something we need to remember. And feel free to ask any questions that you have in this area we have covered so far when the lines are open for questions. Thank you. Back to David.
I'd like to thank our panel of experts for answering the pre-submitted questions. See, at this time, we would like to open the lines for a live question and answer period. I do see a question in the group chat. Give me a moment. The question is, on a non-administrator install, does it have to be the user home? Can it be directed to a shared NFS space?
Hey, David. Thanks. I did see that question. I did put and post some answers to that in the chat. So the answer to the question is yes, during the first product install, using the Installation Manager, you can direct using the minus shared resources directory and point that to a NFS drive.
Right. Thank you. The next question I see is, and this was just posted to me, what's the difference between WASP installation through IAM and silent mode installation?
The end result should be there is no difference. I mean, going through IAM is assumably saying that you're using the GUI. A silent install, again, you still have the full control as what you would using through the GUI. Except it's all command line, and so you could use an IMCL command to do the installation using the proper product ID and things. I'll post a example of an IMCL, which is a silent install for version 8.5 on the same time chat, and if y'all want to look at that and if you have any questions, feel free to ask.
Yeah, just to add to what Mike said, so basically the Installation Manager is a tool and we can run IAM in two modes. One is a graphical mode and one is a silent mode, which is you can either use a response file or you can use a full command line. The example which Mike just posted, you can use either a response file, which is pretty much you feed the response file and your options are in the response file. By command line, you specify each and every option on the command prompt, like IAM install, your offering, the feature, the repository, the shared directory, etc. So that's more beneficial if you're doing scripting, but, response file is, okay, you put everything in a file and you feed the file. So basically two modes with IAM, you can use graphical or you can use silent.
Thank you. And then there's another question that was just posted to the Q&A group. And the question is, how to import license from RAD 7.0 to 8.5.5 trial version?
See, unfortunately, this, the panel here is not from RAD, that will be hard for us to answer because on WebSphere side, there's nothing like license. Once you download from WebSphere application server from the Passport Advantage, you're pretty much good to go.
Okay. Thank you. And then another question, and I'm not real clear on what they're asking. It says, can you lease overview using IAM to install iFix?
Yeah, so basically with IAM, you know, when you're trying to install an iFix, right, there are two options. You can use a graphical interface, you know, then pretty much you click the install option, you make sure you add the repository of your iFix to IAM like you do for FixPack or any other offering, and you click the install. Using IAMCL, it's again the same thing, but rather than giving the offering of a FixPack, or, you know, you give it the iFix repository and you use the same command. I'll try to get a sample command and put it on the chat for install of an iFix.
Okay, thank you. And then there's another question. I have WASMD 855 32-bit installed on a 32-bit Linux server, and I have a new Linux 64-bit server that we want only the 64-bit 855 WAS and use the D-Manager on a 32-bit server. How do we do this?
So that's a great question. We do get that question several times. Basically, you can go ahead and install on your new Linux 64-bit server a new installation of WebSphere 855, being at 64-bit. This node then can be federated to the 32-bit deployment manager with no issues. Each machine is running, and each installation of WebSphere is running its own JVM at its own bit level, so they don't interact or exchange, you know, Java resources between the deployment manager and its node. So they're all running independently, and so there should be no issues with that.
Adding to, you know, what Mike said, you know, especially our WebSphere configuration files, they are independent of your bit architecture type. You know, you can have deployment manager running with a 32-bit, and as Mike said, in the app server nodes are 64-bit. So during the communication between D manager and the app server nodes, you know, it's all the configuration file stuff. So we don't really care about, you know, what type of the bit level you have, 32-bit or 64-bit. You should be able to federate your 64-bit node to the D manager 32-bit.
All right, thank you. And then the next question in the chat, why is IBM only providing installation of WebSphere application server through IAM?
This is Vish, I can take it. So this is, it's not just WAS, even the BPM, Portal, Rational, Tivoli, everything is being installed by IAM. The goal here is to have a single point installer. In past, there were a lot of issues where every product had a different install technology, a different update and all. So now when we are going in the cloud world and everywhere, so the goal here is to have a single installer which can manage multiple offerings. Like with the same IAM, you can install BPM, Portal 8, WAS, using the same IAM. Only thing you have to give it is the repository of what you're trying to install.
Okay, thank you. And then there's another question that was only posted to me. It is, when we go for iFix and then we go for FixPack, what is the basic difference between those?
So FixPack is cumulative, right? So let's say you are at 8.5.5 and you install FixPack 1. So FixPack 1 will be cumulative. It will have a lot of list of fixes which went, like, you know, in that 3-month cycle, all bundled together into a FixPack. An iFix will be just pertaining to a single component on a particular issue that was there. So it's just the difference is that FixPack is bigger and iFix is just for the smaller component.
Yeah, usually, this is Jeanette, usually an interim fix is for one specific defect.
Okay, thank you. And then, can you please give information on what is the use of Liberty Profile and its advantages?
Yes, I was about to look for a link. So Liberty is basically a totally different offering. It's a scale down. It's not same as full WAS. By full WAS, we mean the traditional network deployment, Express and Base, where you install it, you create a profile and stuff like that. Liberty is different. It's small in size. There are Core Edition, which is pretty small. Then you have network deployment where you can cluster the stuff, and then there's a Base Edition. And then Liberty, you don't have concept of profiles. You create servers. There's only one file, server.xml, which pretty much is plug-and-play, you know, where you, like, let's say you want to use Servlet and you want to use SSL, you just load those components and you use it. It's actually a very vast question. So what I'll do is I'll put some links together regarding the Liberty, you know, to the chat that we have. And then if you have further questions, you can open PMR or contact your account rep, and we can take it from there. Just give me a few minutes. I'll paste the links there.
Thank you. And then next question, what do you recommend if there's a need to duplicate a WebSphere environment?
This is Vikram. I'll take this question. So duplicating the WebSphere applications and environment, I mean, there are different ways. You know, some people, they do, like, you know, if it is a VMware environment, they will just clone their entire system. And the other approach would be, like, you know, we normally recommend installing the product from the scratch. It means, like, you know, let's say I have my WebSphere application server cell 1 is already installed, running fine, and you want to replicate for a disaster recovery scene. So on the new system, we normally recommend, like, you know, install your WebSphere application server 8.0 or 8.5, anything, you know, that you are using. And create your profiles, federate them, and move your configuration data from your source 1 machine into the source 2 machine using backup config utilities. We have, like, you know, backup config.sh and restore config.sh. You know, you can run on the source machine, you know, the backup config command, and run the restore command to restore that configuration data on the new system. And there is another command line available, which is manage profile script, you know, that we normally use to create profiles, as well as, you know, you can take a backup on the using the manage profiles command on a profile level. So when you run manage profiles backup, you know, with your profile name, it's going to take your profile home level backup, and you can take that and you can restore that on your new system. So this is what we recommend, you know, install the product and move the configuration files using one of this approach.
Thank you.
And that, I just want to add that your fixed pack levels should match on both systems, and you should do that before you do the restore.
Okay, thank you. And then there's another question that came just to me. What are the basic prereq checks for installation of IM?
First, there is a link inside of our info center for preparing your OS. So it is OS specific. We have moved with the new installation managers. For an example, with in Unix, we now use GTK packages from the OS for the installation manager. So in our preparing the OS documents within the Info Center, it does describe exactly in detail what your OS, you know, from a space perspective to set new mask to making sure certain RPM packages are installed, do exist. So, and you do need to keep in mind that, let's say you install a 64-bit OS, those 64-bit packages are all what is installed. And so, therefore, you will need to come back in and install some 32-bit packages for our installation manager to install properly.
All right, thank you. And then the next question, do you have a link for how to federate the 64-bit WASD app server to 32-bit DMANAGER instructions using Jython scripting so it can be automated?
See, the federation process, we will have to use addnode command. There is no Jython or Jackal command, because the commands in the Network Deployment Manager environment, wherever you bring up your WSAdmin tool to run your Jackal or Jython commands, they always gets connected to the deployment manager. So to get into that state, you have to have the node, your app server node, federated into the deployment manager. So the only the command line, the tool available is addnode command, or you can also use deployment manager admin console to federate your application server node into the deployment manager. So you have two options. One is from deployment manager console side, and the second one is using addnode command.
All right. Thank you. And then the next question, with WebSphere products changing the method of install, is there a white paper or recommended practice for setting up a central repository?
Yeah, this is where, yeah, definitely. So what you can do is, by central repository, what I understand is setting up a common repository for all the fixed packs and the offerings that you have. IAM does have a sister tool. We call it packaging utility. What you can do with packaging utility is that you can merge all the offerings, like you can have WASP, IHS, plugin, and all the fixed packs merged together using PU into a single repository. And then that repository you can use to install on any machine. Now, once you have merged this with PU, you can mount that as an NFS mount to every server, or you can serve it using an internal web server, whichever way you guys want to do that. But IAM should be able to serve as long as the repository is merged using PU. And I'm going to put on the chat a presentation which basically talks how to use PU and merge these repositories.
Okay, and the next question, is there any way to take a WASP backup through IAM?
No, there's currently no way. See, IAM is just a tool that we use for installation. It doesn't interfere with runtime. It just updates the WASP, the files that are needed. There's no way to backup WASP with IAM.
All right, thank you. And then the next question, do we have to uninstall previous iFix before installing the latest fix pack?
Now, in IAM world, what happens is, and I'll take an take a minute, and it's a very good question, actually, so just take a minute to answer it. So let's say we have an iFix which is shipped as a part of 8.05, and currently I'm at 8.02. Now, if the iFix is packaged correctly and I try to install 8.03 and 8.04, internally, IAM will uninstall that iFix and reinstall it. So the end result will be that you'll have the iFix intact, not like in old update installer days when the iFix is gone, it's gone. However, if the iFix is part of 8.05, and if you try to apply 8.05 and 8.06 on top of it, IAM will not reinstall the iFix. It will just skip it because the validation will fail. So if the iFix is not packaged or it's a test iFix or something, then IAM will not work this way. Then you'll have to get a new iFix for the fix pack that you're on and reinstall it. But majority of the cases, IAM should be able to validate it and reinstall it for you if it's not the part of fix pack that you're trying to install.
Thank you. And then there's another question that came just to the Q&A group. The question is, we are planning to migrate from WASP 6.1 to 8.55. Can I install 8.55 on top of the existing 6.1 profile, or does it have to be a fresh installation?
Yes, I'll take this question. It has to be the fresh installation. You know, this is called migration. So you are trying to migrate your WebSphere application server 6.1 to 8.55. So you have to install WebSphere application 8.55 first on your system and then run the migration tools. So you have, the two different ways, the migration graphical user interface as well as migration command line tools available to migrate your WebSphere application server 6.1 to 8.55. So this migration process will take care of, migrating all your configuration data from 6.1 to 8.55. So the answer to the question is yes. No, we cannot install 8.55 on top of 6.1.
All right, thank you. Then the next question. I have an NFS share on three servers, and IBM Installation Manager is installed there. Can I utilize IIM to install, uninstall with two different users without any issues on all three servers?
This is Vish. So, yeah, so basically, you can do it. IAM has a mode called group mode. You install IAM with group mode, but again, every time you use a different user, you'll have to change the permissions on the agent data and IAM shared, and then you'll have to, do the update. So basically, if I understand that you're trying to keep single IAM and trying to do it on three servers, if that's the case, then we normally recommend installing IAM per server, because that way your data agent, IAM shared are all on the mount where your product is installed. But if you want to use single IAM, then there's a developer work article, let me find it, which basically is without installing IAM you can use command line, but then you can only use command line, you cannot use graphical or search anything. The key is your agent data and IAM shared has to be on the same machine where your actual product is you're installing there. So if you keep your IAM shared and agent data on the NFS mount, then there can be problems. So let me find that white paper and I'll put it there for you, Krishna.
Thank you. And then there's a question posted to the Q&A group. Is there a document for migrating WebSphere 7 to 8.7, the entire cell, say, node by node?
Yeah, we do have document. It is, you know, in the info center, we have, you know, very detailed the step-by-step instructions for migrating the WebSphere application server 7.0 to WebSphere application server 8.5.5. Yeah, we'll try to post that link as well to the chat window.
All right, thank you. Then there's another question that may be out of scope, but the question is, what provisions does WebSphere application server provide to prevent denial of service attacks?
Yeah, it is. You know, currently now in this session, we are, you know, trying to take the questions in the installation area of the product. So this is outside of our scope, and we do have a separate team. You know, they are specialized in this area. So unfortunately, you know, we cannot answer this question.
Thank you. And then the next question. If we have 32-bit 855D manager and one app server 32-bit 855 and a second app server 64-bit 855, does the D manager have to be updated first, or can we update the app servers first? Does the order matter of fixes?
Hey, this is Jeanette. Yes, the order does matter, and you should always update your deployment manager first so it's downward compatible with your nodes. And it's essential that you update the deployment manager first.
Yeah. So adding to what Jeanette said, for any release of WebSphere, the catch is that, you know, the deployment manager should be at the same level or higher level of your app server nodes all the time. So if you are with a deployment manager cell environment, you know, having a couple of nodes federated, so you should be starting, you know, updating the fixed pack level from the deployment manager. And the nodes, we don't, you know, it doesn't matter either you can start with the node 1, node 2, node 3, or even you can leave them at the previous fixed pack. But like I said, the deployment manager should be, you know, at the same level or higher level of, you know, your app server nodes fixed pack level. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And then the next question. Is it a good idea to create any dependency on the D manager for runtime? For example, Adobe Life Cycle install on top of WAS uses some cache mechanism called GDS, Gemfire, etc.
Sorry, yeah, I guess, you know, we are not clear about the question, and this, I mean, it sounds like that's not an install-related question.
Right.
It sounds like maybe they need shared libraries, external shared libraries for this other application or component.
Okay. Yeah, I'm not sure either. And then the next question. I noticed on the IM with 8.5 that when you choose to install the updates, it always goes through your IBM Passport Advantage account to get the updates and the latest. But with Maximo application, for instance, you only want to go to 8501, for instance. So the only way I found is run the update pointing to the repository for fix one and choose update and keep clicking cancel to look online to continue and install the fix one. Is this the only way to install a fix on version 8 or 8.5?
So within IAM, there are options under file preferences as to whether or not you want the installation manager to go out to the internet, to Passport, to check for updates. If you uncheck those boxes, it will stop going out to the internet and checking Passport for those updates, and then you can just use your repositories if that's the way you prefer to do your upgrades.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. So there are two things. One is, like, you uncheck the preferences, that will not go to the web. And then second is, when you choose your fix pack, there is an option there, show recommended only. Make sure you uncheck it, because in your repository, if you have the latest and greatest, if the show recommended only is checked, we'll always show you the latest one. So make sure that's unchecked so that it will list all the fix packs that are available. And also, like Mike said, in the preferences under repositories, there's a checkbox. You uncheck it, that we then will not go to the web to download the fixes. Now, even if you choose to go to web, if that's a preferred, then make sure you uncheck the show recommended only option. That way, we'll list all the fix pack and you choose what you want to install.
All right, thank you. Then the next question. When migrating WAS from 6.1 to 8.5, do you guys recommend using the migration tool or create configurations using scripts?
Yeah, that's actually purely the customer's choice. What migration tool will do, since you're coming from 6.1 to 8.5, it's at least two release in between. When you use migration tool, we give you option to migrate the configuration, applications, everything, but the migration tool will not test anything. We'll just move the stuff as it is. So if the application is not tested and all, there can be issues. Now, if the app is already tested in dev and changes made and redeployed on 6.1, then migration tools are good. We do have a migration toolkit, application toolkit, where you can load your application and test whether, you know, your app is good for 8.5 or not. So that's totally your choice, the environment, how much downtime and stuff is needed. So both the approaches should be fine.
All right, thank you. And then another question just came in, it looks like. To upgrade WebSphere from 6.1 to 8.5, what path do you suggest, fresh install or migration process? If you suggest migration process, where can I get the documentation?
So with this question, so of course, you know, you have to have a fresh install of 8.5 because you're trying to move from 6.1 to 8.5. So it does require a fresh install. Now, whether to use the migration process or not, that really, you know, you got to kind of think of, you know, how many applications do I have? How much configuration have I done? If you have a lot of applications and heavy configuration, then I would agree the migration tool is your best bet. If you have maybe one or two applications, very light configuration, then maybe just a new install and redeploying your apps is the best way for you. You have to keep in mind with the migration tool, it's a great product. It does work. When issues do arise, it can take a while to make a problem determination on your issue. So if we're dealing with just one or two apps and very light configuration, there could be some diminishing returns on that, meaning that it may be quicker for you just to redeploy the apps and reconfigure them inside of the new product versus using the migration tool. But I don't want to, you know, discourage anybody from using the migration tool. It is a very good product.
Okay, thank you. And then there's another question that's related to this migration scenario. To get from WAS 8.0 to 8.5, is this a migration process only?
Yes, this is Jeanette. Yes, you would have to migrate to get from 8.0 to 8.5 or 8.55.
Okay, thank you. And then another question, what is the latest fix pack available for 8.5.5.0 base and the location where to download from Passport Advantage?
Well, the fix packs that we have, they are normally available on support site. So they are not needed for Passport Advantage. Once you're on 8.5.5, you should be able to download the fix pack from support page. And we'll just add the link to the chat that we are having. And, you know, on the download for all releases, which will have the latest fix pack. And also, I'll add a link for the fix pack cycles that we have to the chat.
Okay, thank you. And then another question, which I don't know if you can answer. Is there a fixed release scheduled for fixed packs? I hear that it's every 3 months or so.
Generally speaking, it's about quarterly, but there's not a specific date. We post a date for the next projected release date on the recommended site page. For instance, 8.5.5.1 is the current fixed pack for 8.5. And 8.5.5.2 is expected to be released in April, but if they find some problems during testing, that could delay the date slightly.
Thank you. And then another question. If I have 1,000 servers to apply fix packs, what's the recommended method to apply fixes to a large number of servers in minimum time? Are there any tools available?
So, you know, it kind of depends on what version you're running. So In the older version, such as 7.0, we had the centralized installation manager, where your deployment manager must be upgraded first, and then all of its nodes, 1 to 1,000 or whatever, can be use the installation manager to push that fixed pack update installer down to its remote nodes. Now, as we move into like 8.5, a new tool is introduced called the job manager. The job manager can submit jobs to different deployment managers and or different admin agents that have standalone application servers registered to those admin agents. Those admin agents are then registered to a job manager. So a managed command can be pushed down to anything it's aware of to run jobs such as WS admin commands to upgrade to the latest fix packs. Again, you would have to have the repository available. I would envision in something of that scenario some type of web-based internet repository that you're using to pull that data down from for these servers. Now, in 8.5 as well, we still see the centralized installation manager. But that centralized installation manager in 8.5 and 8.0 are targeting only nodes that are still of 7.0 and below. So if you have a 8 or 8.5 deployment manager running in a mixed cell environment, meaning your 8.0, 8.5 deployment manager has nodes that are of 7 or 6.1 or something like that, then the centralized installation manager within 8 and 8.5 can still target those nodes and push the fixed pack and update installer down to those nodes.
Okay, thank you. And then there's another question. I have IIM, WASND, and WAS installed and configured for applications requirement. Now I want to install another instance of WAS. Does IBM Installation Manager have an option to take this existing WAS as a template so that I can get the configuration also?
Krishna, you can use the IAM to do the second install of WAS, but there is no way in IAM to copy the configuration from one machine to another or from one instance to another, because for IAM, WAS is just an offering. So it pretty much what IAM can maintain is install of it, update of it, or uninstall of it, or apply of an iFix. The configuration part, IAM doesn't touch.
Okay, thank you. One more question did come in the group chat. We are planning to upgrade from 6.1 to 8.5.5.0. What's the stable version already being used by companies?
Well, you know, as we stated, our latest and greatest is 8.5.5.1, and we always like to see you go to the latest release. If you're going to 8.5.5 for sure, I'd go to Fixed Pack 1, because Fixed Pack 1 is doing nothing but correcting issues that we've found in 8.5.5 itself. So you're doing nothing but improving your product by installing the Fixed Pack. So I hope that answers your question. And we do have a lot of people on 8.5.5.1.
Okay, thank you. I'm not seeing any more questions. I'd like to thank everyone for your participation in the live Q&A period. At this time, I would like to advance to slide 18 and pass the presentation over to Vikram for a summary of today's presentation.
Thank you so much for all your participation for today's presentation, and I hope you all had a great question answer session with us today. So we have covered so much, the questions in today's session, and they were so great questions. And so we would like to, get your participation into our upcoming presentations in the WebSphere application server area. So please check, our IBM, the WSD site for upcoming those presentations in the WebSphere app server area. And we definitely, want your participation. And so thank you again, everyone.
Thank you, Vikram, for the great summary. At this time, we will conclude the Ask the Expert session. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation and hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and a sincere thank you to our panel of experts for presenting today.